Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and to offer you the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real and true peace comes only from God, and that knowing and having that peace obligates us to be those that keep and maintain that peace. And that wonderful dua, that wonderful greeting in Arabic is simply, Assalamu alaikum. It is my pleasure to welcome you once again to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab featuring your host, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host, and journey with us to explore, examine, and dialogue about the beauty, the value, and the practical approaches to making marriage a blessed joy. While we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we ask you to please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM. Send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, without further ado, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to present my esteemed co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shahid. I am the host and facilitator and the producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here right on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, we want to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want to say to you that this is your learning lab. And you'll be able to participate in any questions or comments that you have in terms of anything that Quran Shakir or myself may say in the learning lab. You can ask the question, or you can make a comment, and you have to press 1. And for those of you who are listening by way of the internet, for you to be able to ask the question or make a comment, you have to call directly into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear from those of you who listen in each and every week and just be absorbing all this valuable information and all. We'd love to hear from you if you want to call in and give the greetings and just let us know what it is that you're hearing is resonating with you. And as Quran has already said, this is a learning lab, so it's on a classroom style, and so we ask that you do come prepared. And being prepared means that you should have an ink pen, a pencil, and paper or notebook so you can take good notes for anything that may be said, and you can bring it up and press 1. That means you have your hand up in the air. You want to ask a question or you want to make a comment. We also like to say to you that you can bring it to the lab at gmail.com, you know, for anything that you would like to say to us and letting us know you want to communicate that way. We would appreciate it. And maybe set some futuristic topics. You'll be able to do that. And also, we like for you to like us, to bring it to the lab at Facebook and also Instagram. So with that being said, I want to just say, before I give it back to Karan, to give us a recap of last week's edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to just say to you that some staples that we have established, and that is Al-Quran and also the life example of the Prophet in demonstration of the Quran, and the tafsir, which is a clear explanation of our beloved leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This is the foundation for this sister learning lab, as it is for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab here. And for about at least 3 months or better, we have utilized an excellent publication by our beloved sister, Akilah Nafisa Rashid. She has authored the book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. Very unique publication, as she uses the word ripple to illustrate six principles in terms of how to remake a Muslim marriage in terms of being in accordance with the example of Prophet Muhammad as the model there. And so we have covered the first letter, which is respect, and we've covered the second letter, which is intimacy, and we've covered the third letter, which is partnership, and now we are on the fourth letter, which is peace. And then after that, we'll move to the fifth letter, which is L, love, and then finally the E, equality. And it was an excellent commentary that Imam Fahim Shuaib, one of our very scholarly learned imams, gave in terms of partnership last week. And for that, as always, we like to do an overview so that those of you who may have missed it last week, you can kind of get an idea of some of the noteworthy things that were said. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my partner, Karan Shakir. Assalamu alaikum once again, and welcome, Karan.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's so good to hear your voice once again. And to our audience, we are so happy to be with you again. And as Brother Mark said on last week, we had Imam Fahim Shuaib as our facilitator last week, co-facilitator, and he was wonderful, needless to say. One of the things that the Imam talked about is that we commit to stack habits that benefit our relationships. And I like that idea of stacking habits that benefit our relationship. He said that just as business is a partnership. So when you think about a partnership, and we were talking about partnerships last week, when you think about a partnership, think about business. And he said business is a partnership. So what is a partnership in a relationship? And how does that look? And he says to be a partner in a relationship, you have to become full partners, fully committed, and have like an infrastructure that you would have with a business, where you have a system of how you do things. You have a communication that happens, and you have a process for connecting in that relationship and uniting in that relationship. He said you have to know your peace in the partnership, and that there is a complementary, and use complementary with the E, and we all know that complementary with the E is a word that means to complete, to join, to connect something. And so he said there is a complementary where each one is a part or a partner to make the whole. And when you see yourself as a necessity in order to make the whole, he said that there is no till the adjustment is made to find harmony. And you have to recognize and do your part in the peace, P-E-A-C-E. And before we were talking about peace, P-I-E-C-E. So, and to know those two kinds of things, making peace in the relationship, P-E-A-C-E, as a part of that peace, P-I-E-C-E, in the relationship. In building this infrastructure, one of the major things that he talked about in this partnership is prayer. So prayer in the partnership, in the marriage, is a necessity. He said the routine of prayer will provide a psyche that strengthens the marriage. And garbage builds up because there is no waste management. And prayer is a way to be like the waste management in that relationship, a way to release those things that can be, what's another word, detrimental or harmful or dirty to the relationship, so to speak, the waste of the relationship. Use prayer as a way to release those things in the relationship. So it's an important infrastructure in the relationship. So every relationship should establish prayer as a part of how that relationship functions, being able to connect with God in there. One thing I thought was important is, you know, he took a little time to discuss this idea that Al-Islam is against women dying alone. And so he mentioned that to say that there are women in our association, in our community, who may be widows or who may not be married, and people don't really look at them as marriage material because they are aged. And he said that in our religion, we don't allow women to die alone, so we should all be working to make sure that our women are taken care of and provided for and in a relationship, a legal married relationship. And he said that those that fire together, wire together. And that means that we fire up our brains together and learn how to work together. So that firing, I like that, fire together, wire together. But that fire was about sometimes we only want it to be sedentary and without the friction that can sometimes come with a relationship. And he said sometimes when we have that fire, that friction in a relationship, then sometimes it's a way also for us to connect and to understand each other and to work out the kinks. When he said that, what it made me think about was, you know, a baby that is born. It comes through friction, and it comes through challenges to get here to find love and joy and the things that make its life beautiful. And so sometimes we may see, oh, my God, I'm struggling in this relationship, and I got to run from it. But sometimes if we go through it, we will find the peace and the harmony that we're looking for. And that's what that comment made me think about. We also spent a little time on this idea of intellectual intercourse through this firing and this wiring or connecting with one another, because there is something that goes through the brain where when we are going back and forth with our intellect and our ability to connect with God and connect our ideas, then we're also going through this process of building inside of us a passion and a connection that allows us to be bonded to one another. He said, you cannot grow without a mate. That's a powerful statement. You cannot grow without a mate. So any of us who want to advance ourselves to the next phase of development, get a mate. That was the whole point of that. You cannot grow without a mate. And then, most importantly, there was a question about our children and how our children can sometimes get caught up in what the world offers to them. And he said, we're at war. And we have to start early on with this war with our children. And some of our children are Noah's children, and are taken away in the flood of the media, the flood of TikTok, the flood of marijuana, and so many other things that can take them away. And so we have to know if we've done our part to set a good example, to impart in them what Allah would have us impart in them so that they can be good human beings. And we're not talking about only throwing at them something just as a backlash to them, but to lovingly guide and direct them, and they choose to go off astray, then we can't weep over it. we have to release and let it go, and inshallah, mm-hmm. they will come back to us. He gave a wonderful example of a community, the Mormon community, who do just that at a certain age. They allow their children to go off and sow their wild oats, so to speak. But by age 19, then he said it was either 19 or 20, somewhere in there, they have to make a commitment after they've done this, a commitment to the religion or a commitment to leave. And in doing that, he said that a great majority of them stick with the community and they become dedicated worshipers in that faith. And the example was given as a way to remind us of our opportunity to allow our children leverage to seek out things and give them then the opportunity to make a commitment to what we have, such that their commitment is wholehearted and it's not something that we're struggling to pull them into, but it's something they do on their own. So alhamdulillah for that. And I think the most important thing that we took away was this idea of the infrastructure in this partnership and all of the things that we build inside of that relationship. And may Allah guide and bless us in what we do, and definitely guide our imam for being with us and sharing his knowledge and his insights and really being a great resource to us. And that's my overview. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar. Mean God is greater, bigger, and more important. And I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. And once again, excellent khutbah. Excellent commentary on the commentary that Imam Fahim Shuaib gave last week. Matter of fact, I want to say to the radio listening audience, I spoke to him and to you, Quran, spoke with him afterwards, and he was very elated. He said he really, really enjoyed it, and he's looking forward to the next invitation, so, you know, which will be very soon. I will extend another invitation to him. The whole idea or plan is in terms of this outstanding publication, in using the word ripple in your marriage, in using these principles, is to be able to have one of our scholarly learned imams and been a forerunner for many, many, many years. Actually has been dubbed the title as the relationship imam oftentimes when he was called by different massages and Islamic centers and conferences and conventions, et cetera, was for doing something on healthy male-female relationship. He's done an outstanding job for many years. And so he's always been very obliging, you know, Quran. Every time I've extended the invitation, if it doesn't conflict with his schedule, he's always delighted to come on and to share. And I really, really appreciate that. And, you know, as you were giving an overview of the outstanding commentary that he made in regards to partnership, just want to say a little bit more about the partnership in terms of the sacred institution marriage, that you can't grow, that you can't grow. This is very important, dear believers, when we understand that Allah is Rabb. And one of the expressions in terms of the Arabic term Rabb, that not only is he the nourisher and sustainer, guardian or protector, but he's also the evolver. So this mm-hmm. is very important in terms of what Imam Fahim Shuaib was saying, that we can't grow. So whatever it is that Allah has created, including his human creation, he wants us to develop. He wants us to grow. So the sacred institution of marriage is part of God's will and plan for us to grow. He connected that so beautifully with peace, and as he so eloquently articulated, that our beloved Imam, you know, and I've heard the Imam say it a couple of times at least when he was present among us, that when you hear a homonym, it actually has a connection. And he beautifully connected peace, P-E-A-C-E, with peace, P-I-C-E. So, you know, when we talk about partnership, you see the word part in there. So each one have a part, or they have a piece, you understand, of what it is that they are to contribute to the other in the relationship, which actually will maintain the peace, P-E-A-C-E, in the relationship itself. Now, if one don't take their part or perform their part or take the peace that it is that they are to be upholding or responsible for, then the P-E-A-C, peace, will not be there. So this is part of the partnership, and it's the word challenges. We use the word ship, partnership, you know, and that ship is serving, helping, and improving people. So it helps to bring out the best, the woman helps to bring out the best man. Now, let me qualify this by saying it is the God-conscious woman. It is the God-conscious man. We're just not talking about any male being a man. I mean, that's a topic in and of itself. Not all males become men, and not all females become women, and neither do they become husbands, neither do they become fathers. You see, Imam Muhammad said, "In definition is direction," and I'm also adding correction. You see, because it is that sometimes we misdefine what is a real man. Allah gives us, you understand, and defining what the male's role is in terms of Arajul Kanamuna Anisa, that he is to be the supporter. He is to be the one that provide maintenance and protection for the women. And not only in terms of his wife, but also, for community and society, is often referred to as woman or as the female. So when you understand that role, when you understand that responsibility that you have, then you have to honor that responsibility. And a good conscious woman, you know, she has a role, and she has to play her role. And in bringing out the best in a man that is God-conscious and regardful of God's word, his will, and his way. She sees that. She notices that in him. And she helps him in terms of fulfilling his role and responsibility. And then likewise. And so she has a role in terms of being a protector and a maintainer, but on a different level. And it brings out the best in terms of the masculinity in the man, is she brings out the best in masculinity in the man, but he also helped to bring out the femininity in the woman. And so therefore, you can only be all that you can be in the sacred institution of marriage when we understand the role and responsibility that Almighty God has given to us. You can't do it as an individual. You can't do it as an individual. That's what Imam Fahim Shuaib was saying. You can't do it as an individual. I don't care how good you think your life is. That's not in accordance with God's will and plan. But also, it is with his messenger, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. He has said in the Sahih Hadith, those who do not marry And then also implicated that those who don't have a desire to marry, they are not of my sunnah, meaning that the prophet's way. They're not of my sunnah because we have the seerah of the prophet. We have the life, a story of the prophet, as he exemplified the model for all human beings for all times in accordance with God's revelation. He modeled the sacred institution of marriage in a monogamous way. He modeled it in a polygynous way. So we have the model. We have we get the framework from the Quran, but we get the example of the Quran in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is very, very important, that if it is that we want to grow in accordance with God's will and plan, Allah didn't create anything without an aim and a purpose. So the sacred institution of marriage, Allah has said he has established it. He's established it, and he has made mates for us from among ourselves. So when we read this in the Quran, then we have to, as we say, sadaqa Allahu zin, that surely the sadaqa, which is the charity, and sadiq, you know, in terms of being truthful, this is really a blessed charity that Allah gives to us, is his truth. This helps to redeem man, but it also helps man to have the proper guidance and direction that is needed for every aspect of his life, including the sacred institution of marriage. I know I went a little long there, Quran, but I really, really want to emphasize that no Imam Fahim Shuaib had only a certain amount of time, but when we say you won't be able to grow, you won't be able to grow into what it is that Allah has designed for the human being to grow, this is why he's saying to us in the Quran, I have created you in pairs, which meaning that there's an interdependence. And please, those of you listening, we hear independent and we hear dependent. But look up that word interdependence, I-N-T-E-R, and put dependent on that. Look it up and get the definition of that, and then we'll see how important the male is for the female, how important the female is for the male. You see, and then them working together, as Akilah said, they can be very productive. You know, that's why I said prayer. She was saying prayer. They pray together, study together, learn together, grow together, and be productive. So, and doing all of that, that brings about the maturity, the maturation in the growth and development. I think I said enough, Quran, and so we can continue to move on in terms of this fourth letter in this acronym in terms of the principle that is necessary and needed in terms of having a Muslim marriage makeover. Quran?
Inshallah. And I don't think you went over. I think that was an important conversation that we needed to have. And for those of you who've just tuned in, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWBM. And we pray that if you are listening online, that you are feeling compelled and eager to join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. As we continue our conversation right here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And this week, we are focused on Chapter 15. And Chapter 15 continues this principle that we have of peace. And I think this is going to be a deep conversation, because I think this aspect of peace that she is addressing deals with something sometimes we don't have we don't demonstrate enough of, and that is patience and forgiveness. And I want to first say that with patience,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions patience repeatedly as one of the skill sets, one of the virtues of the righteous. They're patient people. And so in our relationships, we must be patient. Be patient with ourselves, number one. Too many of us are impatient with our own selves. And we punish ourselves with our angry language that we use with our own selves. Be patient and gentle with yourself, because that's a part of your own personal development, which also helps us to be patient with the ones we love, our mates, our children, our loved ones. We can be patient with them. So she talks about patience and forgiveness in this chapter 5 in the book that I'm referencing when I say she, dear listeners, is Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And this is the book written by Akilah Nafisa Rashid. And in looking at this idea of patience and forgiveness, the question is asked, what is forgiveness and why do we need it as a road to peace? And she takes us to Surah 12, one of my favorite surahs in the Quran, because there are so many valuable lessons in that particular surah. And
yes.
He takes us to Surah 12, mentioning the fact that Allah is mentioned as Al-Ghafur Rahim, the merciful forgiver. What an attribute to have for our Creator. Merciful, two great attributes combined in one, and he mentions this in Surah 12. And so in the book, she also shares with us the root word of ghafuru, which is ghafara. And that root word, ghafara, which is designed to help us understand forgiveness, is a root word that means to conceal or to hide, or to forgive, or to protect, or to suppress the defect. That's the meaning of that word, ghafara. And if we want to be forgiven, then we must be those that forgive. So we have to be those that are willing to hide the defect. And, you know, because some people say, I might forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, in this case, if we're talking about forgiveness, then we have to conceal it, hide it, protect it, suppress it. How many of us can do that? How many of us can do that? How many of us can really act like something did not happen that did happen? And so I am going to pause there, because I really have the questions. Do you think forgiveness is acting that way, like it did not occur, and in so doing, would we think that it is harmful for us to do that, or that this idea of forgiveness should be seen in a different way? So I'm posing it as a question to you, my dear co-host, and to our listening audience, to you as well. What do you think about this idea of hiding and pretending and concealing something as a way of forgiveness? Because I think this is something hard for us to do. We're hard on each other. What do you think?
Yeah, but see, once again, we do want to invite our radio listener audience to get in on this conversation. You can do that by pressing 1. And, Quran, if we don't have anybody in the queue, I look at Surah Ar-Rum, in the Quran, Surah 30, Ayat 21, where Allah speaks about putting love and mercy between the hearts of the two, you understand, after selecting from among yourselves the mate for you, your soul mate, so that you can dwell together in tranquility. Since we are talking about peace, there's a relationship there in with that word, and that he would be, Allah said that he would be the one that would put love, and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you know, when we look at that, we can see why love has to be in the heart. And when we talk about in the intention, the motivation, the desire, as the heart of people, that's the core of people in terms of how it is that we see them in terms of being a loving person. They say they have a loving heart. That's mm-hmm. always seen in terms of the intention of that person to always want to do something good for others and even and for their mate and all. They are motivated by good, and also their desire is to do good. And in pleasing Allah, you know, then you will see that there's love. But also Allah is saying, but it also put mercy. Why mercy? Mercy is a prerequisite. It's a prerequisite to be able to forgive. A person that that can't display mercy or compassion, you know, they hold a grudge for a long time, resentment and all that. Matter of fact, maybe I should give you this gold nugget. Now, for those who can use this, I want to give you something in regards to forgiveness. If it's good, you can put it in your purse or you can put it in your pocket or your wallet until you need it. But the acronym that I like to use in the learning labs and workshops and all that I do, forgiveness, it is freedom from oppression, resentment, grudges, indignation or ignorance, violation / violence, embarrassment. What did I leave off? Embarrassment. The N is not coming to my mind right now, but the next letter is E, envy, sarcasm, selfishness. Negativity. That's what it is. The end is negativity. Let me do that again because I kind of stumbled through it, and I want everybody to get it. Forgiveness, freedom from oppression, resentment, grudges, indignation / also ignorance, violations / violence, embarrassment, negativity, envy, sarcasm, and selfishness. So all of these things become a part of the person when they can't forgive. And we've seen people in terms of the extreme, people that don't have the mercy nor the compassion in them to be able to do that. But Allah is telling that He is the one that will put that in the intention and the motivation and the desire with the right mate so that you will be able to forgive. This is very important because actually when we look at Ramadan, you know, Quran, we should ask ourselves that the first 10 days are mercy. And Allah has extended mercy to us. But the mercy for us in terms of being the first 10 days is a prerequisite for the next 10 days for forgiveness. Allah is all forgiving. We read this in the Quran. He is all forgiving, most merciful. So for the human being, that mercy comes first for us. We get the mercy from Allah. But we have to extend mercy and have a heart of, that is filled with mercy and compassion so that we are able to forgive. So in the second 10 days in Ramadan, it is the 10 days of forgiveness. Now, if we're successful in the first 20 days, then the last 10 days becomes the deliverance, the freedom the liberation from the fire of our own passion. Our own passion. Imam Muhammad said, our own passion. So that becomes selfishness. Now, notice that in the acronym, you have freedom from selfish, the selfish desire, the selfish passion that we may have in terms of wanting to oppress somebody because or see oppression come to them because we don't have the mercy in our heart to be able to forgive. Resentment, grudges, people hold grudges for a long time. I know some family, it's not talking about days, not weeks, not months, but years. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll tell you, I just can't forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't forgive it. Why? Because they don't have the mercy or compassion. I want to see you suffer. I want to see bad things happen to you. The resentment that's there, the grudges is there, the indignation is there, the violation of that person, any opportunity that they get to transgress or violate that person. And sometimes it becomes violent, you see, the negativity that accompanies not being able to forgive, the envy, the embarrassment. How many times do you see people just embarrass themselves and the sarcasm, any opportunity they get? But to be able to have forgiveness and to be able to do that, that's freedom from all of those things. So when we're able to forgive, as the old saying is that you release a prisoner, and that prisoner is you.
Yeah.
You see? So this is very, very important, and Allah is often saying that in many of the ayats, as you very well know, Quran, in his revelation to us, he often will remind us at the end of the ayat that he is all-forgiven, most merciful. So this is very important, and then looking at that and connecting that, where Allah is saying that after you actually form a partnership so that you can have that peace that he promised, that tranquility, but what is needed, the way I'm looking at it, and you tell me if I'm looking at it incorrect, but what is needed to maintain that is to have love in your heart and also to have mercy in your heart, and that will enable you to be able to forgive, because Allah knew that we're not perfect, that we would make mistakes, we make errors, we may even perform sin, that we will have shortcomings or coming up short, where it's going to require that your mate would be able to forgive you, but if in fact that mercy is not there in your heart, you won't be able to do it. I'll stop with that.
That was major. Yeah, so inshallah, if you are listening and you've been moved by what we're saying, we invite you to push one on your phone if you're already in the studio. And if you're not in the studio, we do invite you to join us because we'd love to hear your voice and we'd love to hear your response to what we have shared thus far. And this idea of forgiveness, I think, is such a major conversation. So if you are listening online, you can join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673, and we will gladly welcome you. Push one on your phone, and we'll join you in the conversation as well. So looking at chapter 15 of our book and looking at the acronym that we have here, RIPPLE, and in this acronym of RIPPLE, we're looking at the second P, peace. And so that RIPPLE stands for principles in a relationship, respect, intimacy, partnership, peace, love, and equality. And in looking at peace, in order for us to have peace, we have to have that forgiveness, that clearing of the space. I love that, what you said, to clear it out. And I think in looking at what our sister has shared with us about the idea that peace hinges on the need for forgiveness. And then what you said is that in order to get to forgiveness, we have to have mercy.
Yes.
As a part of who we are. That is so simple but complex at the same time, but beautiful, because mercy is a necessity, and we want Allah's mercy. We want God to have mercy on us, to forgive us, so we have to be those willing to do that. And so I want to move then to this next point that she makes, and that is that to avoid excuses for why you can't forgive others. Yes, avoid excuses for why you can't forgive others. And that goes back to what you said. I've been mad at them for 20 years, and I just can't forgive them.
Let it no, go. Just the way, I'm not laughing at that, but just the way, but I mean, I know people that actually have done that, and they're members of their own family.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. You know, and when we ask ourselves, is this in accordance with God's will and plan for us? Is this what Allah would want us to do? Is this what the messenger exemplified in his life? I mean, you know, there's some narratives that showed, and of course, you know, the most common one is the woman that would dump the garbage either in front of his house or on him. I don't know. I wasn't there, but, you know, you get different reports. But obviously this was a evil act on her part. But the prophet, he responded to the revelation that Allah had given in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, he said, repel evil with something better.
Amen.
Repel evil with something better. So when he found out that she was sick and she wasn't there to throw the garbage on him, he asked one of his companions, where is she? And they took him to where she was. I'm quite sure she was surprised to see the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And she probably wouldn't have been surprised if he would have said, now, see what you get? I'm God's messenger, and look how you treated me. And also, now you sick, no better for you. But he didn't say that. He didn't do that. He simply said to her, I heard that you were sick, and I came to see what it was that I could do for you.
For you,
and
yes.
With that demonstration of the Quran, and I just gave the, I don't know the exact surah of the ayah, but those who read the Quran, they know that what I'm saying is true. She took her shahadatain and became Muslim at that point. So obviously, with the act of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forgave her in terms of her ignorance and all, not understanding the Quran, but in the Prophet demonstrating the Quran, it compelled her to take the shahadatain. I think it's such a beautiful narrative. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, indeed. And that surah and ayat that you were talking about is Surah 41, ayat 34, where Allah says,
Alhamdulillah.
Not be equal. Repel evil with what is better, and your enemy will become as close as an old and valued friend.
Yes.
MashaAllah.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Quran. Thank you for, you know, finding that for me.
That's what we're here for. We bounce off each other, right?
Yeah, I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yes, indeed.
Alhamdulillah.
So, you know, when we opened, we talked about being patient with yourself. But I also think that a part of what we need to do as individuals is to forgive ourselves. And in forgiving ourselves, you know, because we go back to that word, ghafra, which means to hide, to conceal, we also need to be those in forgiving ourselves is to not keep bringing up our own hurt, our own mistakes, our own errors, our own faults. You know, and our own challenges as if we're being punished.
Mm-hmm.
And if we learn to forgive ourselves, then it'll be easy to forgive others. Just like you said, if we learn to be patient with ourselves, it will be easy to be patient with others. So if we can go inside of ourselves, especially since this program is about courtship and marriage, and so those who are seeking a mate, you're not married yet, this is a fine time to fine-tune who you are so that you can be suitable for a mate. So I like that, you know, we have time to get it together before we get into a relationship and bring our own mess in there. Go ahead and forgive yourself. Practice forgiveness. And a good way to practice that is to go to Allah, take it to the prayer rug. Oh, Allah, I seek your forgiveness. And when we seek Allah's forgiveness, know that Allah is hearing us and that he is the forgiving one, the merciful forgiver. And trust his forgiveness, and then we can forgive our own selves, inshallah. Inshallah, that's my prayer, is that we can forgive ourselves because it is a necessity. We have too many relationships where we bring in hurt and harm and pain in it because we are hurting our own selves first, and therefore it's very difficult to not hurt someone else. So to be able to forgive yourself.
You know what? I'm so glad that you brought up, you know, that aspect of a forgiveness. It's not always that there's somebody else that you have to extend forgiveness to. Sometimes people can't forgive themselves. So that same acronym in terms of freedom, this is very, very important. Freedom from, because a lot of times when people can't forgive themselves, they oppress their own self. You know, they always have resentment. What is grudges, and even against themselves. And, you know, I think that when you're not free from something, that means like you're incarcerated. You become a prisoner of all those negative things that not being able to forgive, that I gave in the acronym, you are subjected to all of those things. You can never be free. You know, it kind of reminded me, I think it was like the movie, I don't know if you saw it, you know, I'm quite sure some radio listening audience has seen it, and just want to just get them involved. If you saw the movie, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman, if you did, press one, just press one. I ain't going to ask you to say nothing unless you want to say something about that. About that movie, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and we know what she went through in the abuse and the ridicule and all that she was subjected to. So, did we have any callers that pressed one?
You can
press one. Huh?
Yes, we have some that pressed one to say that they've seen the movie.
Yeah, they've seen the movie. Now, if you want to have a comment on that, remember that her mother, that I think was played by Miss Sissy Tyson, who I think one of the greatest actors of all time as far as I'm concerned, she actually said to her daughter, she said, baby, she says, you have to forgive him, you know, so that, I'm paraphrasing that, so that you can be free. Because she would never be a good woman for anybody else until she forgave him. So she could release herself. This is very, very important because all of those things that in that acronym is bottled up in you. And so you could see that with this young man that had an interest and was genuine, he was honest in all, a man of integrity. He said to her, I can't promise you that I can give you the material life that she was accustomed to. He said, but I have a whole lot of love in my heart, and I can promise you that, you know. But at the point where she was, at that point in her life, she couldn't freely accept that because the forgiveness hadn't come into her heart, the ability to be able to do that. But once she did, then she freed herself. And this is very, very important when you said to be able to forgive yourself, because some people are really hard on themselves. But when we look at our Creator and He's telling us, I mean, Allah, when it comes to mercy and forgiving, He said, I'm all forgiven. I'm most merciful. Now, do we as human beings have the capacity to show mercy, compassion, and kindness, and to be able to forgive? Yes, but not to the degree that Allah does. So this is why it's put a lot of emphasis in terms of Allah's capacity. We don't have that in that regard. But it is something that is for human beings possible for us to have. Now the question becomes, you understand, if we have been people, you understand, like that, they have said to ourselves, I can't forgive that person, then I assure you, you will remain a prisoner. And you don't want to be a prisoner. You want to be free, because all those characteristics, those names, they're all a negative. Nobody should want to be oppressive. Nobody should want to be resentful. Nobody should want to be a person that hold grudges, indignation, or ignorant. Nobody should want to violate people or even commit violence on them. Nobody should want to be embarrassed, or nobody should want to just carry negativity or envy or sarcasm or selfishness as far as they go. Well, when you can't forgive, all of those characteristics, any and all of them, are going to accompany you until you free yourself of those things, you see. And it also staunches your growth and development. And when we start talking about, we can relate this to the second P in terms of peace. You can't have peace. You won't have peace. And we haven't started talking about patience, because as you said, it's mentioned all through the Quran, the patience to have, and it's usually coupled with patience and perseverance. Mm-hmm. Patience and perseverance, very, very important. We have to patiently practice patience. We have to patiently practice patience, because that, in some instances, when we say a shortcoming, or we're coming up short in terms of patience, a person might be able to look at themselves and say, you know what, I've gotten better. I've gotten better in terms of patience, but I'm still not where I should be. You see, because that's important, you understand, to keep and maintain and sustain the peace in the relationship. This is very, very important. So in asking that question, those that are still in the queue, press 1. I mean, if you saw that movie, and tell me what it is, Karan, what is it you saw in there? Did you see basically the same thing, how there was a change in the character of the name of the movie was The Diary of an Angry Black Woman. Did you see a change there? Press 1 and just make a comment if you would. Karen, I would love to hear from you in that regard.
Okay. So to our listening audience, if you press 1 and you are interested in making a comment, then keep your hand up. If you're not, press 1 to come out of the queue.
Yeah.
And if I still see you there, I'll go ahead and bring you into the conversation. And I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. And while you're doing that, I know, Mark, once you brought that up, that when that mother said to her, to be free, you have got to forgive him, free yourself by forgiving him, there was definitely a change in her thinking and in her response. And, yes. And you could see it. And she could see him in a different light as
oh,
well.
Yeah.
The young man who was courting her, so to speak. But you could see
mm-hmm.
the difference. And that freedom is a major thing, you know, to have liberation and,
yes.
you know, that ability to really feel like I can move about now freely. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in one of our listeners whose hand
okay.
is still up. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to invite 314-305. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air, and you can make comments at this time.
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. My name is Donna Lamont. I'm calling you from St. Louis. And I'm kind of sort of laughing a little bit because you all do realize that in that movie, when he was shot and she went back to him to take care of him, that
yes.
she got even with him physically. You all do realize that, don't you?
Sister Donna, I do realize that she went back and took care of him, which you remember the scene at the dinner table. It's like they used to have. They was having like a Sunday family dinner.
Oh yeah.
And so after nursing him back to health, he says, "Would you forgive me?" Her response was, "I forgave you a long time ago." And then
but that
she
was after she had that was after that woman had whooped his behind.
Well, what happened, as I recall, what
that's
happened
what,
there
that's
was
that's what she did because and that's because Madea asked her. She said, "You got him, didn't you?" And she looked at her and shook her head. Yes, and she said, I knew it. But the thing of it is, and this is really what that, I wanted to say that, but something else. There are two things. Number one, when someone hurts you and you're hurting, you cannot forgive them at that time. You have to heal, get over it, understand it, and then you can forgive them. But while you are hurting, there's no way you can forgive them because that pain alone will make you want to hurt them back. Because, and the number two, when we were small children, we used to fight. And there were some good fights because when the fight was over, so was the anger and the animosity. And then y'all went back to playing like nothing had ever happened. People have to have power to control their own lives. And when somebody is hurting and abusing them, they have to understand it and they have to deal with it. They have to be in a position where they can say, "No, brother, that's not acceptable." And if I got to go get my brothers and they need to talk to you, if I need to call the police and they need to talk to you, but if I have to do all that, maybe we should not be together. But
yes.
under no circumstances do you get to be hurtful, because there have been women who have forgiven them one beating, the second beating, the third beating, and you know when they stop forgiving them? When they kill them. So no
well,
use asking nobody.
About somebody for beating you. That's not what we're talking about.
But the thing of it is that people can hurt your feelings and do all of this, but no matter how the hurt is, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, you have to heal from it, understand what happened, understand your situation, and yes, you can forgive. You actually can forgive them, but you have to understand why you've forgiven them. Because if you're still hurting, I don't care what it is, if you're still hurting from it, you cannot forgive them. And that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for
yes,
calling
I
in.
Yes, I appreciate your comment. Yes,
yeah,
thank you so
and
much.
Keep on listening and continue
yes,
to participate.
Do.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
yes,
much. We appreciate
it,
Sister Donna. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Push one on
yeah,
your phone.
Yeah,
Karan,
you
want to
make yeah, press
I
one, Sister Donna.
I do want to add to what she said. Yes, to what Sister Donna said. I want to add to that. I do agree that if you are in pain and hurting, it's very difficult for you to forgive someone.
Mm-hmm.
The point that we're trying to make is to get to that place of healing, however,
mm-hmm.
is that act of forgiveness that will get you there to the healing. And
mm-hmm.
so forgiveness is not, to me, it is not allowing someone to treat you inhumane.
That's
not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, there are little things that we are hurting from. And
mm-hmm.
I call
mm-hmm.
it little. I call someone beating you, that's major. That is
that's major.
Intolerable.
Yeah, that's,
that is not something that
yeah.
we would sanction at all. I don't think anyone
yeah.
who harms us like that should be forgiven in that way. The forgiveness has to definitely be taken to the prayer road with Allah for that. And that forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going back to them. That's the other thing about forgiveness. Sometimes
yeah.
you can forgive someone, it doesn't mean you still got to be with them. But holding
That's right.
on to all that hurt and that pain doesn't help. You have to release
yeah.
it. And you have
mm-hmm.
to, in order to heal, you have, to me, that's a part of the processing.
Yeah, it is. You know, Fran, you're absolutely correct. It's part of the process. And just going back to that story, she only retaliated after, as a wife, she saw herself still as his wife because the divorce had not been completed. Now, just to show you what type of heart she had, she saw herself as that. And matter of fact, even in that story, if you recall, the woman that he was trying to get with, they wanted to try a procedure. And that might would save his life because his life was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not willing to do it. But then when the wife showed up, of course, she had the final say-so. And by giving them permission to try whatever this procedure was, save his life. But then the arrogance was still there, the ungratefulness, the unappreciativeness was still there while she was taking care of him, even after what he did. And that's when she began to tolerate. I mean, that's when she began to respond in the way. There's mm-hmm. an old saying, and we've heard it before, that hurt people hurt people. Yes,
mm-hmm.
and she was hurt by that. But when her mother had a talk with her, and said, you have to do it, you have to forgive him for yourself, for her own well-being. Because, see, that's the thing, that in that part, yes, it's a process. It's not like you would do that like you snap the finger. No, we're not talking about that, and you're absolutely right. So we're not talking about that because that was very extreme in that regard. But still, for her to move forward with her life, she had to come to the conclusion that what her mother said to her was wisdom, because she would have never been any good for the young man that was pursuing her. And he would have been the right mate, as we look at, you know, the script and everything, for her. But she never would have been free of that. And
mm-hmm.
he would have suffered the brunt of that in the relationship if he had pursued her in that state. He had to wait on her because he actually asked her to marry him. And as you know, it's such a beautiful, I watched the movie so many times, and in the very end, where he worked at, she went there and she said, "Now ask me again. Ask me again." It was such a beautiful story. But I thought I would use that, in terms of seeing that. But you had to follow the things that actually happened there. But then she was free of that. But if she never had freed herself in terms of forgiveness, because she said it at the table, but she truly had forgiven him. Because if she hadn't forgiven him all those things I said, she would have been the victim of those for however long she would have had the grudges. It would have been there for life. I remember emailing to Sister Donna's point. I remember Imam Muhammad giving a talk, and he was talking about how the Caucasian people, the slave master, did our people, our ancestors and all. And I believe he was talking about in terms of his father showing him a picture of them hanging African Americans at that time and putting something like gasoline on them and setting them afire or what. And so some of the evil acts that Imam Muhammad said, I didn't have the power to forgive you. He said Allah has to forgive you for such those heinous things that they did. He said, because I don't have it within me. So that goes back to what Allah is telling us in the Quran. He's often forgiving, and he's most merciful. So sometimes in terms of the forgiveness, Allah would have to be the one to do that. But we're talking about extremes here, but we are talking about in the sacred institution of marriage. We're not talking about anybody beating you or anything to that, in that magnitude. But there are things that's going to happen, mistakes, errors, shortcomings, and everything, that we're going to have the capacity to do that if, in fact, it's going to be peace that's going to be maintained in that relationship. That's very, very, very important. So that mercy prerequisites. And then we notice that third 10 days in Ramadan, well, that's freedom, liberation, because then it becomes our passion. And it begins to rule in us. And what does Allah say in the Quran? He speaks about the passion of a person, you understand, being the God of that person because it's ruling in them. And so, we can't partner, nor can we associate anything with Allah and Allah's word, his will and his way. This is very important. I think that Quran, this is so very important, that what Sister Akilah Nafisa Rashid is saying in her book is paramount. It's very important that we get that message. And when we see that, you understand, that we can't reconcile any differences that we have and all, Allah tells us in the Quran the necessary steps that we have to take before parting company, but also in an amicable way, whereas it doesn't damage you for life, for maybe to have another potential mate in your life. That's the balance that it is that I think that we have to have and the message that we got to get. So, Quran, were there any other callers in the queue that still had their hands up that maybe wanted
not
to make a
call? Not at this time, no.
Not at this time, okay.
I like what you said about the balance.
The balance,
and
yes.
And I think that's what we must all seek is the mizan, the balance.
Yeah.
In every practice that we do enact, there should be balance in it. And as we are talking about this idea of forgive, and earlier we talked about this definition, ghafara means to conceal, to hide, to forgive, to protect, and to suppress the defect. Reminded me of an ayat in the Quran where Allah talks about forgive and overlook. And in this healing and forgiving, as we look at this, and I really like this idea of the mercy because we have to have that, then learning how to place yourself in a position to understand, I think that's what our caller wants us to know, is that there are some things that you cannot overlook.
Yes.
And you cannot just forgive. And I agree with that in that respect. But that forgiveness has to be, as the Imam said, for Allah to do.
Yes.
But we have to be able to release it, because if you carry that grudge, you carry that pain as grudge, then it will harm you physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yes.
We have to know that.
Yes.
And so to be healthy, we don't carry the weight of someone else's wrong with us. They did that. That's their problem. You know, I have an 8-year-old grandson, and I say to him when things happen, I said, that's their problem. Don't you own it by being angry with them and trying to get even with them. That's their problem. You go to Allah and you ask Allah to guide you and to empower you to not let that thing hang on to you.
Yes.
At the same time, Allah does say to us in the Quran this idea of forgive and overlook, and it was directed to enemies who had fought the believers and had killed important people in the community. And now they took their shahada, and now they're Muslim.
Yes.
And so imagine your enemy is now a Muslim standing next to you praying. And the revelation came, Allah says, let not those among you who are endued with grace and amplitude of means resolve by oath against helping their kinsmen, those in want, and those who have left their homes in Allah's cause, let them forgive and overlook. Do you not wish that Allah should forgive you? For Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. That is a position to be in. To have to forgive your enemy, the one who brought you great harm, hurt, may have killed your mother, your father, or someone you love, and now you must forgive them and overlook. And that is Allah giving that command, not us. That is Allah giving that command. So to forgive and overlook then has a healing effect, not just for that person, but for the family and for the community. So, you know, how do we recognize that ability in a potential mate, that they can forgive and overlook? So forgiveness is an important quality to know and have. So how do we recognize that in a potential mate, and how can we be that person as a mate who is able to forgive and overlook? And I pose that question to you and to our listening audience, and we invite you as a listening audience to push one on your phone to join the conversation that we're having here about the importance of forgiveness as a part of establishing peace in a relationship. And I do want to keep saying that, because the whole point is for us to have peace in our relationships, and that includes us being able to forgive. That, you know, that forgiving, you're going to avoid a lot of arguments because you've forgiven it. You've released it. There's some arguments you're not going to have anymore because of that. And so if you are listening online, join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. If you are in the studio and you'd like to make a comment or a respond or even a question to what we've shared today, go ahead and push one on your phone and we'll bring you into the conversation. And again, we say to all of you, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Mark Shaheed and me, Karan Shakir. And we love having you as a part of this conversation. This is a learning lab. And we're all learning together.
Yes.
All right, Mark, I'm going to pause there in case you have a comment.
Yeah, you know, you said a, you said a mouthful, you know, there. You know, and this kind of, you know, I think will lead into the next principle, which is love. And true love, really, it reminds me, I'm still working on the true love recipe. And of course, I guess a person from A to Z in the English alphabet, I want to say, just to let people know the publication that I'm writing on. And when we get to F, it is, forgiveness is one of those qualities that I have in the true love recipe. There's no way that you can have true love and not have forgiveness as a part of it. And also in that is friendship is one of the qualities, as I call organic ingredient quality ingredient in the True Love recipe. So, you know, as we look in terms of forward to tie that in, not to get ahead of ourselves, in True Love, you have to be able to forgive. As I said earlier, we're not talking about major things, you know, that would occur in a relationship. But we're talking about minor things. We're talking about human frailties.
Yes.
We're talking about, you know, mistakes that people inadvertently could make, errors that they could make, being faultless in the relationship at times, being abrupt or what, at times, having shortcomings, and hopefully that even when we look at the courtship phase of it, as you say, you like to say, and I like that phrase that you use in terms of fact-finding, these type of things to talk about, and at some point we'll be on that premarital questionnaire, and we'll talk about different emotions and how well you're able to control or discipline yourself, as the Prophet Muhammad was as an example, if it was that everybody said that I'm going to get revenge, I'm looking at getting revenge, then there could never be any type of unity. You couldn't have a community in unity. You couldn't have a family. Just think about this. I'm going backwards from community. You wouldn't have unity in the community. You wouldn't have any unity in the family. And most certainly, you wouldn't have any unity in the marriage. You wouldn't have any peace in the marriage. You wouldn't have peace in the family. You wouldn't have peace in the community. And then when we look at the different phases, you know, or components of life, it's almost now that we look in the political arena or in terms of policy, and if they don't agree, you understand, it's like we're trying to whatever party that's so-called in power, if you see it as that, it's almost like they want to punish the other party that has a different perspective or view. But just look at it. You know, even in the sacred institution of marriage, you know, sometimes that actually happens because you see things one way and your mate sees things another way, and then the arguments come as a result of your ears cutting off the line of communication. And so now, you know, one is upset and mad at the other, or maybe be, you know, both mad at each other, and neither one don't want to apologize, nor do they want to forgive the other in terms of what may have been said. So therefore, you know, we should use the word think again, you know, those questions that we should ask ourselves. And oftentimes we say things that are not necessary to say that actually fuel the fire in our passion to just be right or to denigrate our mate. You know, this is not something that in true love, you know, even having your own recipe, I think, you know, Quran, that you have to say, well, this is a recipe for true love. Forgiveness actually will have to be there. And of course, when we get to P, patience has to be there. I mean, they are, they go together. A person that is impatient, they usually, you find people that are very impatient, they have difficulty in forgiving. They don't have any patience. That means that they usually don't have any compassion and mercy. This is why Allah, when you reading the Quran, you usually, when you see patience, you're usually going to see perseverance. And just the expression, I don't. I know December is connected, but it's a little bit deeper than that. But patience is one of the qualities that identify in December. But the perseverance is very, very important, because impatient people, they can't persevere. And generally speaking, if you're not patient, generally you will not exemplify that quality of being merciful or compassionate. You see, so this is really important when we start talking about true love. So Allah is saying that I will influence you. I will influence. What is he saying? He's saying I will influence your intention. I will influence your motivation. I will influence your desire, because he wants to maintain tranquility. He wants to maintain the peace. You know, even, you know, in the process, actually in terms of a relationship, whereas that Allah instructs those two who desire to want to restore peace. This is Quran. This is not Marshahid. Who want, and I'm just giving it in a language where you can understand, the desire to want to restore peace in the relationship, Allah will bring about the reconciliation. But what is the prerequisites for Allah helping to bring about reconciliation? It is that the, not one, but the both have to want to restore peace. You know, we have peace. Everything about the Muslim, the mu'min, you know, Quran, you already know this. And many of our radio listening audience that's listening in, they know this. It is all about peace for us. Our greeting is peace. You know, our name means peace. You see, all of this is about peace and being the peacemaker. And we're obligated, as you said earlier, when we opened up. But this is a dua, and it becomes an obligation. You know, so when we go back to that, this is an attribute of Allah. As-salam is an attribute. He's the source of peace. And so he wants us to be in accordance with his creation. We don't see chaos in the creation of Allah. We see peace. And so what it is that he has established, he wants that peace to be maintained and sustained in the relationship. So this is why, you know, for the right heart, for the good heart, the innocent heart, for the surrendering heart, in terms of the purity of our intentions and our motivation and desire, Allah infuses that in us so that this will help to maintain the relationship, because he knows that there's going to be some challenges there, and it's going to require patience, it's going to require perseverance, it's going to require mercy, compassion, and then it also is going to require some forgiveness, you know, in that. So if we're able to see that and see this is what Allah wants us to have, but then also in his instructions, but also seeing it, you know, demonstrated in the life of the prophet. So what if the prophet, all what was done to him, when there was more that came to al-Islam, this new way of life and everything, and when he had the numbers on his side, that he didn't seek to retaliate? It was just a difference. So the balance that's there is not, you understand, allow those persons who do evil things to do back evil things, you know, in that regard. See, you know, you let go and let God deal with them. You know, that's the thing. And in the biblical scripture, someone say something, I think if I recall correctly, it's been such a long time ago, I think it says in biblical scripture that vengeance is mine, said the Lord, you know. Yeah. Because most of us will do what Allah says in the Quran, that we would just transgress boundaries. We wouldn't even be just. you see, in that regard. So I just think that this is so very important. But I think it ties in with love, though, Quran. It ties in with love, and it ties in what true love really is,
mm-hmm.
because you have to have those qualities in your relationship if, in fact, you're going to have to have, if you're going to have and maintain true love there. Most certainly forgiveness has to be a part of it. Mercy has to be a part of it. Compassion has to be a part of it. And being peaceful has to be a part of it. And you can't do that unless you actually are going to be patient.
Yes, and I love what you're saying here. We do have one of our listening audience who's one. So let's go
okay.
and hear what they have to say in response to all that we've shared thus far. And we are going to invite 267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and my name is Rahima Z. Abdullah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum. This is such a vitally important topic. It's one of the only things, it's one of the main things that's going to make a marriage last. And I'm experiencing it, you know, as me and my husband merge and we get to know each other ways. It's so many different levels of getting to know each other. And in getting to know each other, there's so much mercy that has to take place. So I'm happy that I have the attribute of Rahima, and he has the attribute of Abdul Rahim, because there's a lot of mercy that has to take place. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have and you don't show that love and mercy, and first of all, the love has to be strong for Allah, that you made a vow, you took a commitment before your Lord, before the community, before your family, and you said, I am going to make this, I love this person enough, make it work. And so the challenge is right there, Shaitan is saying, oh, really? So let me throw this wrench in there. Let me throw that wrench in there. And he's constantly throwing wrenches, and you constantly knowing what to do with it, with the tools that you have from studying the Quran. Because the more we study Quran, the more merciful our souls and our hearts become purified for the pleasure of Allah. So when our spouse do something that we're not too pleased with, we have to always look back at ourselves. We can't always say, well, you know, look at him and what he's doing or what she's doing. You definitely have to look in the mirror and say, no, what are you doing? And what
Absolutely.
Is that causing those reactions? Because those reactions cause a certain reaction. And so I'm very careful of my reactions, and you learn as you get older, especially at our age, what to say. You know, I tell sisters, one of the reasons Imam Muhammad taught us, Rahim Allah, he lay, is when you wash out your mouth with wudu, you're asking Allah Ta'ala to bless what comes out of your mouth, that you are washing your mouth, that you may have things come out of your mouth that's purified, that's clean, and that's good for humanity, good for your own soul. And just like washing out your nose, you need to mind your own business. You know, you're washing out where you don't want to be in other people's business. So you're in your own business, and you're watching what you're saying. And then when you find yourself off course, you're the only one that can really put yourself back on course. Because if you really want that marriage to work, you have to check your own self. And the more we check ourselves, the better off we are with our mates to be able to bring that love and that mercy back into the relationship where you can have conversations, because conversations are the part that you're going to get to know and do the binding of appreciation for that person. So it's much more, but I just thank Allah for this program and the programs that help us understand the dynamics of marriage as we continue this journey.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Rahima. I think some very sharp points that Rahima has made, and a lot of those things that, you know, Quran, what Rahima said, a lot of those things that you actually experience and you learn actually in the sacred institution of marriage. You know what Imam Fahim Shoaib say, you know, if you don't get married, you can't grow. and you grow in those vital areas, you know, in terms of, you know, you look at what is oftentimes very, very difficult for certain people, what is very difficult. And if you had to make a list, I'm quite sure that for some people, forgiveness will be right there at the top, you know, Quran. You know, maybe patience. You know, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about patience, might be right there at the top. Maybe being merciful or compassion would be right there at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, you know, so those things that would be difficult for a lot of people, you get an opportunity to practice those things. And I think something else that Sister Rahima said, very, very important, and we never want to lose sight of that, is your love for Allah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, whereas that you don't put yourself before Allah and His messenger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Imam Muhammad made a very, very valuable point that you should love Allah, but you should love His messenger.
Mm-hmm.
More than you love yourself, because actually the goal is to become Muhammad. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad was teaching us, and he said that Adam is Muhammad in his highest form, his most developed or mature form. So, you know, when Imam Fahim Shoaib was saying it caused you to grow, we can look at this is one of the principal or master keys that Imam Muhammad gave to us. Adam, which is all human beings, is Muhammad in his highest form, in his most developed, mature form. You know, it is very, 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 very important that we know that the goal, you know, is to model ourselves after the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mhm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I
that's
you
know I just
point.
Think that
yes.
You know those qualities, they have to be exemplified, and so we see the maturation of Adam in Muhammad. That was the goal, as the Imam said that when the creation began of Adam, also it was it began the creation of Muhammad. You know, that's where we want to go, and that becomes the model for us. And then, you know, in terms of loving Allah, but loving His messenger, because that becomes the gauge how we have to measure ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, is this what Allah would want us to do? What does Allah say about this? As you mentioned, in terms of continuously reading your Quran, ingesting it, understanding it, but put it into practical application. This becomes the challenge for us. Even in the sacred institution of marriage, you need the Quran to be leading you. You need the Quran to be leading you, you know. And also, we need the example of the Prophet Muhammad, his messenger, in exemplifying how we should be. I mean, there's numerous stories in the hadith in the tradition of the Prophet in terms of how he handled situations. And he always handled them with wisdom and insight, not only for his time, but for time to come. And so I think that what the Imam is saying to us, not only should we study the Quran, but we should study the Sirah. We should study the life example of the Prophet in every aspect, and most certainly in the sacred institution of marriage, because he modeled that to perfection. He modeled that to perfection. And he showed these things, you understand, what Sister Akilah is speaking about in this book, because he didn't have to forgive the woman that threw the garbage. He might have said, well, this is a perfect time. You sick and you still, I'm going to take a pail of garbage and dump on you. But he didn't do that. But that is so trivial. You know, that the Prophet, he showed us in terms of having compassion. And obviously he forgave her, because there's no way he would have said, take me to her, and then want to extend his helping hand to her to see what he could do for her. So by modeling, you understand, the Quran in that verse that we gave, well, you said it was 41, was it 41:14, Quran?
It was 41:44, I wanted to. Let me go back and see.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
41:34
of the Quran. You can read it for yourself. Allah says, you know, there to repel evil with something better. He didn't say repel evil with evil. You know, so alhamdulillah, you know, so that's the model for us. And we want to say to our radio listening audience that you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir, and it was truly Mark Shaheed here. And we are talking about tonight the fourth letter in the word ripple as one of the essential principles in terms of having a Muslim marriage makeover. You know, every time I think about Muslim marriage makeover, some marriages need to be made over in Quran, I say yes. You know, and it's all about the growth and development, you know, and some have come to a screeching halt, and there's no more growth and development there, but it's all designed to cause us to continue to grow, as Imam Fahim Shuaib say, to continuously grow, and that's what Allah wants us to do, to continue to evolve, and we can't do that unless we respect that marriage is one half of our deen. And we know that deen, the root meaning of deen is debt. This is how we pay the debt, by living the life, you understand, that Allah created us to live. And it's not by yourself, dear believers. It's not by yourself. So don't look at it as an option. Look at it as a mercy that Allah has extended to us to have mates of like nature, that we may be able to live in the tranquility, that we may have a peaceful situation, and look at it and be thankful and grateful that Allah sends that mercy to love in our heart and compassion that we're going to need in the relationship. So, alhamdulillah, please press 1. I know Quran and I would love to hear from you. I know you may have something to say. If it just resonates with you, you can call us and give the greetings like Rahima did and like Donna did in that regard. And even if you don't have a question or you don't have a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Did anything tonight resonate with you, press 1. And those listening by way of the Internet, we do ask that you call into the studio at 714-816-4673, and you press 1, and Quran will alert me that we have a caller in the queue. So I'm expecting the board to light up tonight. Quran, I don't know if that's a realistic or unrealistic expectation. Prove me wrong, please. I'm really lying. So anything else there, dear Quran, that our beloved sister that really caught your attention there?
Yes. Yes, yes. But I do want to remind our listening audience while we're on the subject of if you aren't pushing one on your phone, you do want to email us, feel free to email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And most definitely, if you are not already our friends on Facebook, please go and like us on Facebook, Bring It to the Lab, and follow us on Instagram, Bring It to the Lab. In this conversation about forgiveness, because I think this is an important conversation, you know, there's disappointment and there's pain that can be a damaging part of a relationship. No one will deny that sometimes that things that happen really chip away at the relationship. And so we need healing formulas to help us evolve past these deep-seated pains and the things that can sometimes become triggers from our own childhood or past hurts. And so when you understand what your triggers are, then you need to know how to move beyond those triggers. And so we don't want to hurt again, and so we sort of form a shield around ourselves where we don't forgive and we don't overlook and we hold grudges because it's out of protection for our own selves. But the best protection is with Allah. And as you said, we have a fine example in our model, in the example of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So the one that you gave about the trash on the road is one example. But also, when I was reading Sister Akilah's comments, I reflected on the blind man in the Quran.
Yes.
And the blind man, the Prophet himself had to ask for forgiveness because he was rude to that man because he was blind. And so even in that, you know, and then there was another example that Sister Akilah did have in her book, and that was the example of the woman that tried to poison the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Sahaba were like, oh, my goodness, we need to handle her, you know, using our current day terms. We need to handle her because she tried to poison him. And the Prophet was the one who said, no, we're not going to do that. And there was another opportunity for forgiveness to be exacted. So he was the one who said that we're not going to kill her, we're going to forgive her. And imagine a look on their faces to know that that's one of the things that he said would be the solution. And then I want to also direct our attention to the idea of, like we said before, forgive yourself, but this idea of repentance. When you have hurt someone, you do need to seek forgiveness. You know, sometimes arrogance will make us think like, deal with it. But that's not the approach that I think should be taken. There should be an act of repentance. And that means that we seek forgiveness and we correct the wrong. So the forgiveness that we seek will be first from ourselves. Forgive yourself, ask Allah for forgiveness, and ask the person you hurt for forgiveness, and then correct the wrong. So the strength to acknowledge a mistake is really when we ease God in versus easing God out, meaning letting that ego stand in the way. So
yes,
I think there's a lot that we have.
No,
to deal with
here. I love what you said. Quran, you know, that acronym that you gave, because those who are prideful and arrogant and egocentric, you can easily edge God out of your life, whereas that he's not the dominant influence in your thinking, your disposition, nor your behavior, you see. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't take on the characteristics of the Iblis, which, you know, saw themselves as better or even their thinking being better than the plan that the Creator have, you say, for us and all. And we don't ever want to be in opposition to the will and plan that God has for his human creation. We want to be in accord with that. That's how the peace is actually maintained. You know?
That's right.
Yeah, that's how the peace is actually maintained. And we want to have the correct perception We want to have the correct perception. As Imam Muhammad said, that is the shaitan he vowed, you understand, and his mission is to alter that perception in terms of how we see things. Even when we look at the sacred institution of marriage, you know, the statistics actually say that people have a different perspective now in regards to marriage. This is why it's so important that, you know, that we have to have good marriages that serve as models. I was on another platform earlier today and was talking about how important it was. And then even last night I had Imam Jihad Mukmin, our resident Imam here at Al Mukminun, and the question came, how can we get our children to take a serious look at marriage, the sacred institution of marriage? And one of the things that he said, I completely 100% agree with. Our children, they learn what they live. And if they never see that models for them, you know, if they see a good, wholesome, healthy marriage, it becomes magnetic. It becomes very attractive to them. And they say, that is what it is that I want in my life. Because of what it is that they have seen and they have experienced in that. And they've seen the demonstration of love between the mother and father as husband and wife. And so that makes an impression upon them. We have to be able to see that our children, in the first 7 years of their life, they're very, very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
You're impressing them even when you might not be conscious that you're impressing them. And then the next 7 years of their life, they're looking for a model. I guess I know you say, well, Prophet Muhammad's supposed to be the model. Yes, but at the age they are, you're
That's
the
right.
model. And you have to be modeling what Prophet Muhammad modeled in those various roles. So that's, don't get, as the young people say, let's not get it twisted here, you know. But they're looking for a model, and Allah has made you the natural role model. And the reason we know that, because the prophets say, what makes our children otherwise from the fitra that was given to them, the innocent nature that's given to all babies, is that the parent and parenting and the environment, what environment? The social environment. What mm-hmm. environment would that be? The family, you understand? Or the community, you understand, in terms of their socialization, makes them otherwise. So we don't want to make them otherwise. We want to be conscious, mm-hmm. regardful parents, you know, striving to the best of our ability to adhere to the Word of God, conform to God's will, and strive to live our lives the way God wants us to live in, modeling Muhammad the prophet, you see. And the ripple effect, Quran, it goes to the children who are very impressionable and who are looking for a model. And then when they get to the socializing stage, those two stages that have preceded that will impact them in terms of one to socialize with others that's like them or, you know, that have a similar experience in terms of even their choosing for a mate. I'm hoping this makes some sense, for those who may be listening and maybe having children or grandchildren, and saying, how is it that we can promote and inspire our children to want to marry? That's one of the first and foremost things, you understand, that they have to see in terms of the modeling aspect. And then we have to even go a little bit further, as my guest at the MGM roundtable last night was saying, that he knew a good Muslim family, and that his son that's 18, Rashad is going on 19 years of age, in terms of, she may be a year or so younger, introducing them. So, mm-hmm. you know, and so these are the type of things that we have to do as parents, as family members, mother and father, but also as a community. We have to help to promote that. And we, when we see good individuals and everything, we have to do our part and role in terms of just introducing. You know, we can't guarantee anything. We always say, inshallah, if it's God's will. But if we see that, you understand, what is transpiring in our community, then we have to become navigators, if you will, in terms of directing our children. Say, oh, this is a good sister. Oh, this is a good brother, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you introduce them. And, you know, Allah is the best knower in terms of who knows what may develop. Maybe a husband and wife, you understand, may come out of that relationship, or at least in terms of meeting someone and establishing a good friendship. At some point, we're going to talk about that natural process in terms of what courtship should actually produce and how courtship actually will help us in terms of making a decision whether or not there can be a partnership, as we just left that in terms of partnership. And so, you know, I want to say, you know, to our radio listening audience, Karan, as we draw near the top of the hour here, we do want to put a lot of emphasis on the Muslim Journal's annual Time to Be Grateful that will be held there in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, by the Atlanta Masjid. And I assure you that the committee that have put the programming together for the 2021 Time to Be Grateful haven't overlooked, since this is Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, they haven't overlooked our young people, praise be to Allah, in terms of, I wouldn't say the learning labs, but the most certainly workshops and information, correct information and education for our young people, because it has to be on their mind. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at the topics that they've chosen for the community that are really pertinent and significant for community life and our growth and development, but they didn't leave out the young people. And I really, really appreciate that. And I know that Allah has blessed me with the opportunity this year to be one of the presenters and be presenting with the help of Karan Shakir as one of the moderators in terms of what it is they've asked me to do on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I just think that the topic in and of itself should raise your eyebrow, you know. There's do's and don'ts in terms of Islamic courtship, yes. And we should, and we need to know them and familiarize ourselves with them. I'm not saying that you have to memorize them, but you need to internalize them. And we're going to look at the difference in terms of that this is not just dating and all, that this becomes a commitment that it is that you really want to follow through on what it is that Allah has ordained for us and that was practiced by his messenger in that regard. So there's going to be some outstanding presentations that are made. You still got time to to register with for the Time to Be Grateful. Make it a family affair. There'll be something there for everybody in terms of the interest and everything, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I'm just giving that endorsement. So, Karan, I know you might want to take a couple of minutes or so, and for whatever closing remarks that you may want to leave our radio listening audience, I think that tonight, boy, we really, I think, Devin, too, a lot of, in terms of looking at peace and what can maintain and also sustain peace, or if the peace is broken, you know, what it is that we need to do to restore peace in our relationship. Correct?
Yes, indeed. So my closing remark is just a reminder to us that we define Allah as the Lord of forgiveness. So husbands and wives are supposed to be garments for one another. And as a garment or shield, or as a garment shields and protects, so should mates do for one another. And this ability to shield and to protect has many meanings, as we also want to be honest, sincere, direct, and forgiving, working to instill peace in our relationship. Our office says that there is a fine line between covering a fault and suppressive behavior. So we just want to remind you that we do not condone abuse of any kind, and that we should support guiding our loved ones with the things that are true and beautiful to the relationship. And if we want peace in our relationship, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be those who are forgiving. And if we want to be forgiven, we must be those that forgive. Dear listening audience, we thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. If you did, tell a friend to join you next Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 to 6 Pacific Standard Time. And we say that forgiveness as a mode to peace is what we want. So be a part of our community. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Be sure to join us this week at A Time to Be Grateful. And if you have a question, you would like to comment on our program, send us an email at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Mark, I turn it over to you.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Well, I want to say alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. I thank Allah for you, Quran Shakir, and what it is that you bring to the lab each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio, the insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with for so many years in sharing with this community. I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in, and particularly those that actually called in and express themselves in commentary and all. And want to say that please continue to listen in to IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Jumu'ah Day. And this is the day of assembly. And you can get Salatu Jumu'ah here on IWDM Radio with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, longtime resident imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, would be here. And that production starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And also, the longest standing running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Once again, it's hosted by the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and along with his co-host, Imam Ayman, there in California. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it is 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. I don't know if there'll be a live production this Sunday. Usually when Imam Mikhail Sahir is involved in a conference or convention, he generally may will have a replay, because he's going to be one of the very distinguished, esteemed presenters at the time to be grateful. So you will see his name.
He's also an honoree.
And I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he's been honored.
So he's an honoree. So Karan says he's an honoree. So I didn't know that. So she let the cat out of the bag. So hopefully he ain't listening. It's supposed to be a surprise, Karan, or not?
No, he knows he's being honored.
Oh, he knows. Okay, he knows. Okay, so he's an honoree. So, you know, that's another reason that you don't want to miss the time to be grateful. You don't want to get it secondhand. You want to get it firsthand. So he's an honoree. So there will be something, I can assure you, in that slot if it's not a live broadcast, because at the time to be grateful, I think it's going to have the focus of many in our community, inshallah, God willing, that it be successful. So please make dua for the Atlanta Masjid and also for the Muslim Journal in their major fundraiser, which is the time to be grateful. And also we want to invite you each and every Tuesday for one of the newer productions here, The Science of Your Health and You. This is an outstanding production that's hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Abdul Shahid, a student of Centometry. And it's a learning lab, and so we ask you to bring your pen and pad to that. They have some outstanding information that is shared each and every Tuesday right here on IWDM Radio. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. in the Central Standard Time Zone, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Science of Your Health and You, Learning Lab, hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Abdul Shahid. And also the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting and the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. What a very distinguished and esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator, along with myself, for the Learning Lab. That's Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Sister Najwa Tawab just did her finale about a couple of weeks ago. But you'll join us, and that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And then following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As I always like to have very distinguished esteemed guests at the roundtable inside of our community, but also guests outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. And that begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, we know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it happens each and every Thursday night with our very distinguished and esteemed co-hosts, Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid. So that happens every Thursday at 7 p.m. and Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend. Bring a family member. Bring a friend. Bring an associate, a neighbor, a community member to the Learning Lab. And, you know, love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Also want to remind you to make sure that you tune in to Study Al-Islam with Fitri Muhammad. That happens each and every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it's 10 a.m. for you. Central, it's 9 a.m. for you. And if you're on the West Coast, 7 a.m. for you. Some of the most outstanding intellects in our community. I'm just blessed to be working with one, and that is Quran Shakir. Have appeared on there, different life topics that Fitri Muhammad has coined for them to address. A lot of great information, so you need to bring your pen and pad for that. And they got a new number, and that new number, if I'm correct, I memorized it, 717-908-1837. Once again, that's 717-908-1837. The passcode is still the same. It's 684012#. That's 684012#. And if you should happen to miss it, you would get the last presenter and presentation for that whole week until a new presenter and new presentation come on. So please tune in for that. And once again, as Karan say, don't forget the time to be grateful. This is the only major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal. Let's try to make it happen in a big way, as this is the first time in our community that the time to be grateful will be presented and produced in a virtual way. But I assure you, I got a little glimpse of the Ontario, and you'll be pleasantly surprised at what will be in store for you. So let's go ahead and make sure it is that we register, or I think it ain't too late. You understand, if you want to sponsor someone, you can do that, and most certainly they will also be accepting donation. It don't matter whether they're big or small, they will accept it all. I think I said that right then, correct?
You said it.
And also we want to say that Salat to Juma for the time to be grateful will be 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And if you are registered, you know, there's no charge in terms of that. I mean, we never can charge for a Salat to Juma. But it'll be 11 a.m. for those in the Central Standard Time Zone, and those on the West Coast, it'll start at 9 a.m. And you'll have an opportunity to come there, and you'll be able to get the welcome and the itinerary not only for Friday but also for Saturday and Sunday. It's loaded with a lot of great presenters and information. So don't get it secondhand. Be there, and so that you can take good notes and maybe bring it back to your community or share it with others that may not have been able to be there. So with that being
said, that Juma is going to be at 1 Eastern, 12 Central.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because we're going to have a meeting after I get off of here. So I'm glad you gave me that correction. So it's 1 Eastern. So thank you so much for. That's good to have somebody that's on the committee that's here on IWDM. So we want to make sure that if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, you know, that'll be 12 noon and everything. But everything else that I'm thinking after that in terms of the welcoming and the itinerary will be given, I'm thinking at like right about 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, well, thank you, Karan Shakir, and making those corrections and everything. And so we want to say until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. See you at a time to be grateful. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.